Welcome to worship as the sun sets in the west on this holy night where we gather to celebrate our dear Savior's birth. May the hope of this season fill your hearts with hope, peace, joy, and love. Just one announcement before we begin, and that is that our church is putting together a picture directory. We've had a first edition. We're looking to make some changes to it and include more people in it. And if you'd like to have your picture taken tonight as a group with a family or individually or as a couple, you're welcome to go to our chapel immediately following the service where there will be somebody to take your picture. Now, again, Merry Christmas and welcome to worship. I invite you to stand as you're able and face the cross. I'd like to call on Evelyn, who's going to help me with placing baby Jesus in the creche. So, Evelyn, would you come forward and come up here and join me? There we go. We rehearsed this, and I told her, I keep baby Jesus in my pocket. So it's a reminder that Jesus is always with me, and Jesus is always with us. So here, you take baby Jesus, and I'm going to reach over and grab the manger. Thank you. Evelyn, good job. Now stay up here with me. There he is, the newborn king. Does he look like a king? I don't know. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people. This guy on bended knee doesn't want to stand up very well.
Yeah, he kind of falls down.
He kind of falls down, that's right. Maybe I should put him over. Well, we'll lean him down. How's that? Okay, he could take a nap. Okay, but you can't. Now, before you go, Evelyn, we're going to invite the children to come up. All the children, including the children's choir and our junior cantors, we're going to bless the Christmas tree. This is one of my favorite parts of the service, so I want to get you gathered around the tree, all the way around it, all the way back. All the children are welcome to come forward. Isn't that a beautiful tree? Okay, all the way around and get as close as you can to the tree. If you can touch a branch or put your hand on a branch and just hold on to it. I know it's really tricky here to get everybody in. Evelyn, you want to touch one of these? There you go. Okay. Now, this is my favorite part because we've been waiting with eager anticipation to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And so now we're going to pray. But this time I'll let you pray with your eyes open, wide open, for the wonder and the mystery of God coming to us as a baby in a manger.
All right, children, we're going to pray. Can you pray with me? God, our Creator, we praise you for this Christmas tree. It is a sign of your everlasting, evergreen presence among us. It's a sign of the reign of heaven, sheltering the creatures of the earth under its open arms. It's a sign of the cross, shining with the light of your mercy and grace. Gracious God, let your blessing come upon us as we illumine this tree. Send us your Son, the tender shoot of Jesse, who brings us light and life. May all who stand in its light eagerly welcome the true light, which never grows dim. And we ask all this through Jesus Christ, our light and our salvation. And all the children said,
Amen. Thank you for blessing our tree and helping us light it for tonight. We are so glad that you're all here. And now you can go back and join your families. All right. Okay, we'll go back and we're going to... Whoa, that's a shortcut, isn't it? You know, at least you didn't jump over the candles. That would have been even trickier, huh? Okay, I invite you to join in the Christmas dialogue as printed in the bulletin. Please respond with the bold text. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Give us your light, O God, to shine in the darkness of our lives. Come to us, Lord Jesus, with the light of your love and salvation. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, you made this holy night shine with the brightness of the true light. Grant that here on earth we may walk in the light of Jesus' presence, and in the last day wake to the brightness of Christ's glory. This we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we hear now the Old Testament prophecy.
A reading from Isaiah, from the prophet. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, those who lived in a land of deep darkness. On them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest, as people exult when divining plunder, for the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. You have broken as on the day of Midian, For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be an endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius, the governor of, was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. Because he was descended from the house and family of David, he went to be registered with Mary, whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The word of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation tonight, I'd like to emphasize one verse from that gospel reading. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The emphasis tonight is going to be on that, actually that verb in the center there. Amazed. I think there's something worth dwelling upon in that little portion of this Christmas story. The shepherds come with a story that they tell to people who were not there at the manger. And we hear of their response, and they're the people who, as far as we know, never go to the manger. And they're amazed. And I like that emphasis because I think in some ways that's us. These people hearing the story from the shepherds didn't see Jesus in the manger. Neither do we. And they're amazed. But I wonder, as we hear this story told tonight, do we leave with the same amazement that they had? Before coming to Central, I was a theology professor, and the class I taught most frequently was Introduction to the New Testament to college freshmen. The vast, vast majority of them were doing it for a graduation requirement. Did not have a lot of interest in the topic. And there was a lot of biblical illiteracy, and so most of the class was simply going through what is in the New Testament. They really didn't know what was in the Bible except for this story. When it came to the birth of Jesus, students did know at least some version of this story of Jesus' birth. And in fact, they knew it with quite a lot of details. Granted, some of those details were often wrong. But it wasn't the kind of lack of knowledge that were there for other parts of Scripture, even the crucifixion and resurrection. They knew the story, but what was lacking almost universally was what these hearers had: amazement. They were often not amazed by anything in the story, and they found it, and I think I can quote those teenagers correctly, boring. And yet our gospel today, for people who frankly are in the same situation, says all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The students weren't amazed by this story, and I wonder if sometimes we haven't fallen victim to the same thing. We might not find it boring, but are we amazed any longer? And I'd like to posit a few possible reasons for that. Probably the reason most obvious is that we don't get so excited about it because it's become so common for us. It loses something of its significance. But I think there might be something else as well. When we focus on this story and we think about this story, I think we often focus on the desperation of the Holy Family found there in Bethlehem. We imagine the story, and I think it goes something like this. Mary is 9 months pregnant and they're trudging toward Bethlehem from Nazareth, Mary riding on a donkey, and they barely get to this entrance of the motel and pound upon the door with Mary already in labor, and they plead with this innkeeper to let them deliver the child. And then we usually have this very grumpy innkeeper who sends them very harshly and unfeelingly away, and then they have to smuggle themselves into a stable with a bunch of animals, and Mary gives birth in the worst circumstances you can imagine. Perhaps that narrative resonates for some of you, the way we can think about it. And I do know it is, want to and absolutely emphasize, it's a possible way to think about that. But actually, very few of those details are in this gospel story. The gospel from Luke doesn't say she's 9 months pregnant when they travel. It doesn't say how long it was before the travel to the birth. All it actually says is while they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. We have no idea how long they'd been there. Further, unlike almost every passion play, there is no innkeeper. All it says is there was no room for them in the inn. But room for what? All it says is she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, laid him in a manger. It doesn't actually say that's where the birth happened, just the baby's resting there. Some have even questioned the word for inn, whether the translation there could mean more something more like a guest room in someone's house. It's a little bit ambiguous. And I say all that not because I think that common narrative is wrong. It very well could be accurate, but only to illustrate how many of the details we seem so sure about are not as clear from the gospel as tradition seems to suggest. And I do think there's a lot of value in those traditions. But I wonder if that emphasis of the story of desperation and crisis, can cause us to miss something, which is the wonder. I think the common narrative leads us to compassion and tenderness to what is just this human tragedy. And we can recognize in that narrative the unexpectedness of all of this. But maybe not really the amazement, the wonder of it. Amazement tends to arise from power and might that is also in this story. The story where alongside the angels, the hosts of heaven, which could mean all who have gone before us, appear and cry out, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom his favors." The story where this is the Savior, who's the Messiah, the Lord. I think we can sometimes get lost in the details of the humanness and the desperation. We can lose the power and the glory. And we recognize too, of course, that power is hidden in weakness. Not necessarily the weakness of desperation, but simply the weakness of God becoming a human. The weakness of a baby. That the powerful Savior shall come in such a frail and seemingly powerless form. That dichotomy might lead us to all who heard it were amazed at what they told them. And I do want to be clear, I've been emphasizing this amazement. Amazement is different than worshiping or even agreeing with the accuracy of this story. To be amazed has the same double meaning we have for it in English. It can be awed and in wonder due to the grandeur and majesty, which probably would lead you toward worship. But it also can be awed and wonder at what the seemingly obvious foolhardiness of this story. That it would seem simply unbelievable and unlikely. Some have even ventured so far as to say, sometimes we ought to translate this verb, "Let's be confounded." And of course they were confounded. The message that there is this great act of power, the showing up from the hosts of heavens, leading us to call out and to worship, glory to God in the highest, and encapsulated in what is frankly just a very normal family in a manger. Not only is that story wild and unexpected, but I think a little confounding. I'd like to invite us a moment to be confounded together. And then those shepherds might be a model for us after all. Thus far, I've talked about their audience, those people who heard that story. But notice it didn't say that the shepherds were not amazed and confounded. I think sometimes we get the impression that these shepherds, they see this great thing, and so now they're completely convinced and become evangelists. But you know, it doesn't say that. When the angels show up, it's the angels who say, glory to God in the highest. The shepherds are described as afraid. Then they go and they see this family, and then they go tell people about it. It doesn't say at any point there, they're worshiping. Not yet. But after sharing the message, after sharing, just relating and recounting the confounding work of God, then only then after that, and after they've seen this modeled, do they themselves worship, glorifying God. Amazement on its own, there's not a lot you can do with it. It's simply shocking. But if we're able to abide further, don't leave that feeling of amazement, but maybe tell the story of amazement, then we can process. And what is happening in us and for us, and lead somewhere beyond mere amazement. And if we yet abide further yet, maybe we can worship. For very few is that instantaneous. To be amazed and now I'm worshiping. For most of us, we start confounded and bothered, and that's okay. It's a process. I'd like to imagine tonight that's what these shepherds are doing. And what we're invited to do. Allow ourselves to be a little amazed and confounded, and then invite us to sit in that feeling together and simply tell the story. And in telling the story, allow the grace within this story to come to us. Allow the grace of God to come into our hearts this night and slowly, deliberately, healthfully invite us to worship. Amen.
Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for to you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all. God has come to join us in the Christ child. Let us rejoice and be glad. Thanks for this wonderful gift. Let us celebrate God's presence in our lives tonight and always. God is here. Let us rejoice and sing. We receive the evening offerings, our Christmas offering, as we sing together, Angels We Have Heard on High. Love came to us in Bethlehem's child. We give thanks to God for this child born of Mary. Let us turn our hearts and minds to Christ, who is our light and our salvation. The child of Bethlehem is our Savior and Lord. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Let us praise God. Please stand as we sing Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Please be seated as we continue with the prayers. God of glory, we come before you on this holy night, rejoicing in the love that you have made manifest to all of us in the gift of the Christ child. And we pray that all may be comforted by your promise of a Savior. Lord, hear our prayer. For all the things that remind us of your love, we give you thanks. For this time of hearing and singing, of receiving and giving, we give you thanks. The joy of Christ-like wonder that marks this season, we give you thanks. For the mystery and miracle of your Son's birth, we give you thanks. For the love of those who are with us, we give you thanks. For the love of those who are distanced from us, we give you thanks. For the love of those who have gone before us, we give you thanks. For your love in coming to us in the child Jesus, we thank and praise you, O God. Amen. And now receive the benediction. On this holy night, may the presence of the incarnate God of life, light, and salvation stream to you, so that you may abound in hope, peace, joy and love by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the God of grace bless you now and forever. Amen. We remain seated for Silent Night, and we invite you to join in singing in English or German. in peace. Proclaim the good news.